ho. Okay, guys, show us what you got.
There goes Jeff Hansen into the corner. I think it's Jeff. No, it's Jack. It's 17. I'll have to check that later. Huey puts a crushing check on him on the boards. Oh, I'm telling you, things are really going on out there now. And I think that was Jack. Well, it was Jeff or Jack, but I'm telling you, Broome County is just visibly upset by this display. Come on down and get places for the home games. Bring the kids. We got entertainment for the whole family.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to the Tuesday night edition of Light Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650. Brooke Ward. Welcome to the big show tonight. Dub hockey. It's the way to go. You gotta go with the WHL, man. That's where the stars of tomorrow play today. The Vancouver Giants are coming off a 2-0-1 weekend, three games and three nights. This on the back end of a six-game road trip in the Western Hockey League Eastern Division. You come home and you play at home on Friday, on road on Saturday, then back at home on Sunday. It's like, okay, thanks for that. Same thing next week. Vancouver's in Portland on Friday, or check that, hosting Portland Friday night, then in Kamloops Saturday, back home against the Blazers on Sunday as well. It's like, whoa, man, can't we just play, you know, just a couple of games in the same city? In a couple of weeks, that will happen in beautiful downtown Langley. We thank you for joining us tonight. Bill Wilms to join us in a couple of moments. Also hear from the head coach, Parker Burgess, after the Giants win yesterday, or make that Sunday over Medicine Hat. And that Tiger team's a good team. They're struggling on the road right now, but they're a good team. The Giants pulled out a 3-1 victory in that hockey game on Friday night. Part of the 2-0-1 weekend, they started out on Friday at home, 5-2 over Wenatchee. Tittleback had two goals and two assists in that one. Olsen had two goals and a helper. Obel Beifel, 1+1. Schmidt with two assists. Burke Hood rounding into form, 36 saves for the victory. Then into Penticton, Giants led 3-2 in the final minute. Game got tied up, though, with 18 seconds to go. Newcomer, 20-year-old goaltender Kelton Pine, 40 saves, was terrific for Vancouver. Penticton, 4-3 in a shootout. Schmidt, two more goals for Vancouver in that hockey game. He also added a helper. And then Sunday, as mentioned, the 3-1 win over Medicine Hat. Schmidt, Oreskovic, and Sparks scoring for the Giants, who've won 3 of 4. Hood back in goal, 29 saves for another victory. Again, he is rounding into form, 5-4 on the season. Lots of stuff. Nathan Kanter later in the program. Parker Burgess in a couple of minutes. Bill Wilms as well. Right now, though, let's get the game wrap from what was a very good hockey game Sunday at the LAC. The Giants 3-1 win over Medicine Hat. Here's Nathan Kanter, Bill Wilms. They had the call for you right here, Sportsnet 650.
It's Tomique for Vancouver, trying to work his way out. No room down that far side. Pickford got in his way, but he holds it in the zone. Throws it in front. Here's Sparks. He scores! What a heads-up play. Tomique finds Sparks in front. Top shelf. 1-0 Vancouver. Caliberta will filter it up to center. Nice play. Oreskovic got around his man. A 2-on-1. Moves in left circle. A drag, a shot. Scores! Jacob Oreskovic, his fourth of the season on an odd man rush. It's 2-0 Giants. Knockdown. Giants can't clear. And a shot, a low one. They score. Noah Davidson, his third of the year. It was an individual play. Picked it off. And he scores with a low shot. It's 2-1.
Boy, I'll tell you, the Tigers have been out shooting the Vancouver Giants in this period, 7-1.
To the blue line, Pickford a shot, knocked down in front, and cleared. Here's Schmidt, a clear-cut breakaway for the Giants. Deking and scores! Having some words for the Tigers after deking and scoring. Giants lead 3-1.
You know, the way this kid plays, the way he skates, the lightness on his skates, I'm not sure he'd be maybe one of the last guys to tire.
5 seconds to go. What a weekend for the Vancouver Giants. They pick up 5 of a possible 6 points. A win this afternoon. They defeat the Medicine Hat Tigers by a final score of 3-1.
Boy, did they play hard this third period. Oh, boy. That was a workmanlike effort.
It was, too, Bill Wilms. Very hard-working effort for the Giants, who've won 3 of 4. Led that game, by the way, as you heard some of the highlights. It was 2-0 Giants 7 minutes in, 2-1 after 40. And then that Schmidt breakaway goal put it away in the third period, but he probably don't win without Burke Hood. Those 29 saves, he was the first star of the hockey game as well. And again, rounding into form. Quick note on Hood, who has not gotten off to a great start with Vancouver this year after coming back from NHL camp with his draft team, the New York Islanders. But on the weekend, this weekend in particular, Hood played two of the three games, went 2-0, 65 saves on 68 shots, a .956 save percentage for Burke Hood. Did I mention he's rounding into form? He was terrific. Head coach Parker Burgess was with Greg Ballack and Billy Wilms on the post-game show on Sportsnet 650 on Sunday. Pretty pleased with the way things turned out on the weekend.
Yeah, the guys are happy, and obviously we're proud of the effort. And, you know, coming back from Penticton last night after a game where, you know, we probably should have had 2 points, you know, just a few little miscues there at the end. Thought our group did a good job with their resilience and being able to respond and bounce back. Obviously, Medicine Hat's a very good team. High-powered offense, very well coached, and we knew it was going to be a hard night, and we kind of leaned on the group a little bit, so just proud of their response, and I'm sure they're looking forward to a couple off days here. So.
Tell you what you really like, the weekend, the 5-2 win against Wenatchee, the 4-3 shootout loss of Penticton, the win tonight. Do you know you never trailed? No point in the game did you guys trail this weekend.
I guess I didn't know that, but that's a good stat. Let's keep that rolling.
Yeah, no good. And I want to ask you, after two periods, I said, I wonder what coach, you know, is going to be doing. I mean, it was let's be honest, it wasn't very good second period. Great first period.
Yep.
Now, knowing you're playing a lot of hockey this weekend, and my original thinking was, you know what, he's going to kick the garbage can. He's gonna,
that's not really my style.
I know, and somebody told me that. But I thought, you know what, was he going to be angry, or is he going to say, okay, guys, listen, give me 20 more minutes? What was it?
It was definitely more like just pushing them to find the inner strength and maybe some willpower to just empty the tank, and leaned on them a little bit and challenged them. But I think our group knows, and the message was just, you've had 8 periods of, you know, the second period wasn't great today, but they're battling. You know, we got home at 3 a.m. and we just asked them to dig deep and give each other, not even us, like just give themselves and give each other everything they had for 20 minutes, and just reminded them about the pride and the joy that they would feel at the end of the game if they did give everything and come out on the right side of it. And so just pushing them to empty the tanks and stick with the game plan, knowing that, you know, if we stuck to the script, we would still get a couple scoring opportunities, and we just had to be ready to capitalize on them. And, you know, we were able to get that third one, which was huge, and put us in a really good position. You know, a great pass by Leo, and Cameron finishes it off, and he, you know, Schmitty had a fantastic weekend, and you know, the points and the goals are great, but his play without the puck and his commitment to team play was the best I've seen it all year, and hopefully he can just continue that and build momentum moving forward.
We were talking a bit in the pregame about all the changes Medicine Hat has had, and you can do pre-scout, you know, it's only 10 games into the year, but when you have so many fresh faces and new people, how do you form a game plan around that and know exactly what you're up against when it's, you know, still early in the season and they've got so much turnover on that roster?
Well, they had 5 kids that I coached against in the USHL.
Well, there you go.
And their goalie, Casey, he was on Waterloo when I coached in Muskegon, and so I saw him 5 games in the Clark Cup Finals. Yep. So I at least had a little familiarity with a few of the guys. Kyle Hager on D, the Gavin Core, I think it's Stangram up front. So I had an idea a little bit. And then, you know, the Ruck brothers and some of the more offensively powered guys, we do our pre-scout, and, you know, Medicine Hat's a terrific team and very offensively driven, and they can make plays. And for us, it was just doing the hard things, like make it a defensive game, play the game in the trenches, win blue lines, don't feed their transition. And something we were able to build off last night was, you know, we have our goals and our, you know, what we want to kind of accomplish game to game. And our goal every game is to try to give up at least 4 or less odd man rushes against. And when we were in Saskatchewan, we were giving up 9, 10, 11 odd man rushes against, and obviously you look at the score. Mm-hmm. But last night against Penticton, we actually gave up zero odd man rushes against. So something to build on. And when the kids heard that, it was kind of like, whoa, like, you know, that's probably a big piece to the success. And yeah. I thought again tonight we were able to limit their transition play. You didn't see a lot of two-on-ones or three-on-ones or breakaways, and even the three-on-twos that they did get, I thought we managed and sorted out really well. So I think everybody sees, and we know, we've got highly talented offensive players. You've got Cameron, you've got Linner, you've got Tittlebach, you've got Haliburda, you've got Obo, you've got Chorney, you've got Sparksy, you've got all these guys that can put the puck in the back of the net and make plays. And we're just, we have to balance it out with commitment with without the puck and just the finer details of it. And if we do that, we really believe we have a team that can compete for something special here.
Head coach of the Giants, that's Parker Burgess, following the 2-0-1 weekend and the 3-1 win over Medicine Hat on Sunday at the LEC. Coming up next, Billy Wilms. We'll get in deep with him. Portland's coming to town on Friday night, Cancer Awareness Night at the Langley Event Center for the Giants. Sunday, by the way, when Kanluk's in town, always a great time. It is trick or sweet game for the Vancouver Giants. Bring your kids, throw them in costume. They go around to get to trick or treat in the suites between the first and second intermissions, or in the first and second intermissions, I should say. Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I got to put my own costume on and get around and get some of those snacks, too. It's a good thing. It's a great thing every year that the Giants do. Thanks for being with us. I'm Brooke Ward. He's Jack the Giant.
Oh, oh, oh.
And this is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford
and Jason Brough.
Join us for Halford and Brough in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
To the blue line, Pickford a shot, knocked down in front, and cleared. Here's Schmidt, a clear-cut breakaway for the Giants. Deking and scores! Having some words for the Tigers after deking and scoring. Giants lead 3-1.
You know, the way this kid plays, the way he skates, the lightness on his skates, I'm not sure he'd be maybe one of the last guys to tire.
Yes, speaking of not tiring, first of all, this is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. We hope you do not tire of that. But speaking of not tiring, the veteran, the cagey one, the wily veteran, Bill Wilms is with us as well, the man who never tires. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing just terrific. Thanks again for asking. Appreciate it.
Good, good. Some say I should retire, but I'm not tired. So there's that. But otherwise, what about the hockey club, Bill? That was three games, three nights, more games on the road, sandwiched around a couple games at home. To pull 5 out of 6 points out of that ain't bad.
Yeah, and you know what? It was, as always, it was the way, you know, I look at the way they did it. They opened the scoring in all three games. You know, that's extremely important. Teams that score the first goal go on to win more games than they lose. They had two goal leads in all three games. That's, I think, really important. And they got great goaltending. And you need that. And, you know, Brooke, I will never apologize for great goaltending. You know, people that say, well, yeah, you only won because of your goaltending. Yes, exactly why. And that is the most important position in the game in many nights.
And part of the team.
And very much a part of the team. I mean, granted, the only similarity in the position with any other player on the team is they pull the sweater on the same way. But everything else is equipment's different. The pads are different. The the mask. Everything is different. But it is clearly the most important position many nights. Not always, but the many nights. As I told you once before, it's not a big deal until it's a big deal. It was good. I thought it was terrific.
And, on Sunday, after I thought the Giants were going to tire us, let alone coming off the road trip, they had a few days at home still, but then three games to three nights, Bill. Second period, I was thinking, gee, ushering a 2-1 lead into the third period was a good thing for the club because I thought they were tiring out.
You know, I got caught in a dilemma there on the air with Nathan. When we wrapped up the period, I said, you know what, is this a time that you're kicking garbage cans as a coach? Just to make my point. By the way, I tried it once when I was coaching, and I had a bruise on my ankle for about 3 weeks.
Yes.
never did it again.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I didn't know if it was a time to get really, really angry and say, guys, how can you do that? How can you have a two-goal lead and kind of, you know, hang on in the second period and, you know, and let's get going. The third period is, you know, I mean, we got the lead. Let's not blow it. But then I thought, you know what? Maybe that wasn't the right approach. And I asked the coach about that after in the post game. So he says he's not that kind of guy. And it made sense to me. You know what? Instead of doing that, getting angry and all the rest of the stuff to exhort your guys to get through the third period, it was a case of recognizing it was a third game in three nights and it was going into the last period. And maybe it was a little bit more exhortation and guys, let's get it done. And like he said, you know what? He went down that path, how good it would feel to get the win. So let's just go out and, you know, give it 20 minutes. And
let me hold you there just for a sec, because I was going to play the clip of that, because I heard your post game and I heard what he said. So stand by for those at home. Here's Parker Burgess post game when Bill asked him about that kick and some garbage cans or what was said after 40 minutes. Here's the head coach.
You know, the second period wasn't great today, but they're battling. You know, we got home at 3 a.m. and we just asked them to dig deep and give each other, not even us, like just give themselves and give each other everything they had for 20 minutes, and just reminded them about the pride and the joy that they would feel at the end of the game if they did give everything and come out on the right side of it.
Parker Burgess, and I wish I had coaches like that, Bill, because when I was playing, which was a long time ago and at a much lower level, you had a lot of guys who would throw garbage cans, let alone kick them. But I like that philosophy.
Yeah, going into the stick rack and, you know, throwing them all over the place was something some people did too. But I liked his approach. I got to be honest with you. I thought that was the right approach, and it worked well. And, you know, for people watching, you know, keeping an eye on the Western Conference standings this early, and I'm sure there are people that do, Giants have moved into 7th. Of the 12 teams in the standings. So obviously at this point in a playoff spot, and it's obviously early, but here's a key. You know, they're also 3 points out of 2nd in the Western Conference. So it's pretty jammed up right now, but it certainly was a very, very good, a good 3 days. I mean, again, I look at the 4 days book, the 4-win at Regina, the 5-2 win against Wenatchee, the shootout loss at Penticton. And they were just seconds away from winning that game. And then the win we were just talking about with Medicine Hat. And, you know, they've scored 15 goals in those 4 games, given up 7. They're 3-0-0-1. Yeah, I mean, turned a corner. I'm not so sure it needed a corner turning, but be that as it may, it's certainly in a good spot.
What's changed? What's changed for them?
Well, for one thing, to me, Cameron Schmidt is always going to be a key guy to this Vancouver Giant team. You know, whether you like it or not, whether, you know, he's good enough defensively or not, it doesn't matter. And the big challenge, I think, for the coaching staff for this Vancouver Giant team is to make, you know, you've got your structured 5-man units, okay? Your defensive structure and the way you want to play defensively. Yet you still have to let a guy like Cameron Schmidt know that he is the top threat in that structure, because when he's involved, he is a game changer, obviously. And I think he kind of took the bull by the horns during the weekend. I think he was a big factor. You know, Brooke, when he was 15, his first 2 games for the Giants, we brought him up at Tri-City, and then the next night at Spokane. You know that he had 3 breakaways? I mean, 3 times the Vancouver Giant team got him the puck in the neutral ice area, and he was gone. I said that on the air that night. I think it was with Eddie Gregory. I said, you know what? This 15-year-old kid is looking, he's in the slot area in his own zone, checking, looking for danger. And I think it was the next season, the 16-year-old season, where Huey was telling me, Steve, you and I, he figured he missed 15 breakaways. He didn't score on him. And he is that dynamic, and you have to give him credit for that. His anticipation and his speed is terrific. And the challenge that he presents for the coaches at this level is, you know, how much do you want to rein a guy like that in? You know, you don't want to take the offense out of it, okay? How much slack do you cut him? Do you give him, you know, a little bit of room in that case? Because, Brooke, he's so terrific in terms of anticipating. And the pass, and you know, the pass that was made there, I mean, we had a look. We couldn't tell on the screen, but it was Dominic Kelly that made that, Leonardo. That was a great stretch pass, and he was gone.
That was almost center in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like it was like a penalty shot for the guy at full speed.
It was. And he's, you know what? He's got four minus games of the 11 that he's played. And they're always talking, you know, and we're always saying about what kind of a defensive, you know, he's got to learn to play defense first. And I get that. And it's true. But you got to recognize this guy's a triple threat. He'll beat you with speed. He'll beat you with a pass. He'll beat you with a deke. And sometimes he does it all on one shift. I think when he gets to the National Hockey League level, I think, Brooke, I honestly think his maturity level will become a big factor in his responsibility on the ice. I just don't know how much you want to you want to hang him back. Because I'll tell you what, I honestly think that he's probably playing at times a little tentative. And I think that's why he got hit like he did the other night. You know, that was not him, and he got absolutely flat. And that was the best check I've seen on Cameron Schmidt in the 3 years he's been playing.
Someone smoked him against Wenatchee Friday night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
By the way, not to stop there, but what got me with that was with Schmidt down and hurting, it was Blake Chorney, the 16-year-old, who jumped in to defend him, and I was like, wow. Speaking of another young gun on the hockey club.
Oh, I know, exactly, and rightfully so. So there is that. There is that togetherness. You really like that. You got to have it. But you ask me what has changed, and I think, all season long we're going to run into streaks where, you know, if Cameron Schmidt is allowed to do Cameron Schmidt things, he can be a difference maker in the game. You know, even in Penticton the night before, Vancouver had a 2-0 lead, and then Penticton tied it at 2. And guess who gave Vancouver a 3-2 lead? Again, it was Cameron Schmidt on the road. He's clutch, obviously he is. And I just think that he can make such a difference as a game breaker. Now that going into the third period, Brooke, to your point, I mean, to everybody's point, that was saying this team looked tired, and they were, no question. And yet you've got that dynamic threat that you can put on the ice that actually seals the deal for you. You know, it was 2-1 at the time. I think that made it 3-1. And the rest obviously is history. And one of the things, too, to answer your point, your question about what is different, they're defending really well, the Giants, as a group in their own zone. And two things very quickly. You know, they locate the puck where it is, I think, faster than they have. When they're on their heels, they're looking around, who's around, you know, who do I cover? You don't know where the puck is. And you lose, you know, that location. And number two, they're locating the puck, and they're locating their check, the guy that they've got to cover, very, very quickly. And you got to start in your own end with those two factors. You got to be able to do that. If you're searching for the puck and you can't find the check, then these guys in this league, they'll bury you pretty quickly.
Might have been after the Calgary game, the final game of the road trip. Can't remember when it was, Bill, but post-game show, Galen Patterson, so it probably was that road game. But he, at that point, and that was, I guess, first win in a while for Vancouver, but they're now 3-0-1 in their last four, including that Calgary game. But Galen, after the game, said, I think we're growing. Teams getting accustomed to the coaching style, learning what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. And I thought that maybe said a lot.
Well, it did. Now, you know what's interesting about that comment is, again, my expectations, and I think people too, were that you just pick up the pieces from last year and carry on. You know, but no, it isn't that. You've got brand new people behind the bench and brand new people in management that are learning the league, learning, you know, what kind of players the Vancouver Giants have. And that is probably very accurate and very, you can expect that. I guess I was one that thought, no, let's just, we were close. Well, we weren't close last year. I mean, we were smoked by Spokane. And by the way, that Spokane series, Schmidt was, I think he had almost 2 points a game of the five. I think he had 9 points in the five games that they lost. But I just, like I say, I thought, you know what, let's just pick up where we left off, just get a little better, and, away we go. But it was actually a brand-new start. And yeah, from that standpoint, they're learning, and maybe they have turned a corner, because this is a forward group that's hard to match up against. There's no question about that.
Paul Fricker had told me a couple of weeks ago when asked, he said, I think it takes, with all the new people and trying to, as you just said, learn the team, learn the league, that he said, I've told the coaches it's going to take 3 or 4 weeks before you guys all figure it out and all the players figure it out too. And we're kind of right in there. Paul's not a dumb guy. 100%. So we're kind of right in there, that 3 or 4 week era.
Exactly. No, and that's very well stated, and that's very, very obvious. But, because there were some games in on the trip to the, the Eastern Division that, maybe one game for sure that they could have won more than the two that they did. But that's a terribly big ask for the coaches and even the players to go on that trip. Even when you're strong and healthy and everybody's, had a couple years of experience, it's a tough trip. So, yeah, I like this. But then again, they've got 3-3 this weekend, too.
I know. I look at it, Bill, too, and I say, boy, that's daunting. That's got to tire you out. And it can. But then I think, I was 18 once, Bill. I don't recall ever being tired. Ever. Like, ever. Today, I'm tired like 25 hours of every day. But at 18, I'm kind of like, three games in three nights. Okay.
Good. Well, you know what? I've been in exactly the way I've been in the 25 years. I've always said, 3-3, not, it shouldn't be that big a deal because they're kids.
I'm a kid. I got more energy than you do.
Yeah, they're full of pee and vinegar, and then you play with the lead, and you like I said, they extended it on the weekend, so you think, okay, this shouldn't be that hard. But let me just say this: when you see Portland on Friday night, Brooke, this is their 11th game in a row on the road. They haven't played a home game yet
because
their Memorial Coliseum where they play is undergoing some renovations. Mm.
Well, they're 5-5 in their in all those road games, I guess. Yeah,
They're 5-5 on the road.
You'll take it. So that's not a bad team that you're going to see. I was like Portland coming to town.
Precisely. And then you got Kamloops in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So I think now you're going to see a BC Division team again, and you're going to see Kamloops, and they've got one kid there, Hurlbert. I haven't left, but he's got to be leading the league if not close to it. He's just been crazy good. You want to watch him. He wears number 2, if I'm not mistaken, but we can talk more about that later. But nonetheless, it's going to be another busy weekend, and I really think the trade for Kelton Pine, who was just terrific in Penticton, the goaltender from Regina, he is a 20-year-old, but they looked at their two weekends of 3-3 and said, I think the goaltender that they had, the American kid, I think he got hurt.
He did.
Upper body. Did you hear that?
Yeah. I didn't hear what it was, but he's under the weather, shall we say.
Well, there you go. Yeah. And so, he figured it just perfectly. That game in Penticton, I thought Kelton Pine was sensational.
Yeah, 40 saves in that game.
And the last thing, real quick, I'm really excited. I'll make this fast. To watch the Vancouver Giants power play. They've got Sparks shooting from the one circle on the left side of the goaltender as you look at the goalie. You got Schmidty shooting from the other side. You got Lynn at the point. He's going to start shooting more. And you got a Haliburton on the ice. This is a power play that, mark my words, I'll give it 10 games, and you're going to see something that's pretty dynamic out there.
Speaking of dynamic, thank you, Bill. You're a man of many talents. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, pal.
Thank you.
See you on Big Friday.
You got it.
Thank you, pal. There's Bill Wilms. Nathan Canter is coming up next. This is the mighty Sportsnet Radio Network. Vancouver Giants this week. Presentation of White Spot.
Hiddleback holds the zone. Back to Schmidt, right circle. Dangles to the middle. Schmidt, he scores! A brilliant highlight reel goal! Cameron Schmidt, second of the night. 3-2 Giants. Wow. Admire this goal.
Oh, a great goal. A great goal and a great goal call from Sir Nathan of Cantor, the play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants. That was part of the Penticton 4-3 shootout victory. They're come from behind shootout victory over the Giants on Saturday night. Game 2 of 3 in a row for the G-men. Oh, here comes this guy on a beautiful Tuesday night here. Why wouldn't we have White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on a Tuesday night? Nathan Cantor, hi, buddy. How you doing, pal?
Good, good, good. What a weekend. What a weekend it was.
I know.
Yeah.
What's your take? Give me your take on the weekend. 2-0-1 on the weekend. Got 5 out of 6 points. Killed a bunch of penalties.
Yes. Oh, that was, I mean, that's a big reason for their success this weekend. 100%. Penalty kill has turned around completely. Now 13 for 14 in their last four. It was obviously quite an issue early, you know, hovering around that 55-ish percent in the first, you know, mostly between that road trip and the first three games of the season, but very, very excellent. Now, they're blocking a ton of shots, and that makes a huge difference, obviously, on a penalty kill. They're getting some shorthanded chances, too, and from what I understand, they have changed things. Obviously, the way they kill penalties, a little bit different now, and obviously, it's proved to be incredibly helpful and helped Burke Hood, because Burke Hood has been lights out. His last three, he is 3-0 with some sparkling numbers as well. It was a good weekend. At the same time, I think the awesome thing is I don't think the team played anywhere near to their capabilities. And obviously, it's still early the season, and the goal is to peak in the playoffs, and it's a long process. But if you think about it, like they blew some leads, not some leads. They blew, you know, on Saturday, they blew a lead. And there are still, I think there's still such a higher ceiling for this group. So I think what good teams do, and we've said this before, good teams can win when you're not at your best. I think a lot of the things, you didn't win enough B games last season. Last season, the team was good, but not great. And I think what would have made them a great team is to win more games when you're okay, when you know, you're B, quote unquote, your B game. And I think there were times here this weekend where the Giants were really going, but in general, I don't think it was an A game. And yet they come away with 5 of possible 6 points. It's huge to turn that around from what was happening earlier in the season. But there's just, I think there's so much more runway with this group, which is really exciting.
What a great quote there too. So much more runway with this group. Boy, I mean, if this wasn't live, I would play that back, Nathan, because I like that as well. And yeah, they got the PK was good. Kelton Pine looked terrific, mm-hmm. made 40 saves in the shootout loss. I might have said OT loss earlier, shootout loss. Hood, 2-0 on the weekend, 65 saves on 68 shots, 956 save percentage by my count. I might be a shot or two off in there, and I think they ripped them off a save or two.
In
the Friday
at
night
home
game.
Too. I know. How did that happen?
I'm like, come on, man. Those shots got through, and they must have thought they were blocked. So anyway, regardless, 956 save percentage, Brooks math on the weekend, so good for him. And also, mm-hmm. you know, we say blow a lead. This is just a Brook thing. It was 3-2 late, and it was a 3-2 hockey game. I always think if you're up 5-2 and you lose, you've blown a lead. But up 3-2 and you lose 4-3 in a shootout, okay, you lost the lead. I'm not as negative as you, Nathan. I don't know if you blew a lead, but you lost the lead. But otherwise, tidy in their own end. And again, your reaction to this, by my count, I think 7 goals against in their last 4 games when they were giving up a ton of goals.
They were giving up a lot of goals. They certainly were. And that you can't win in this league when the numbers were what they were. Like, it's just not going to happen. And it was nothing on the goaltending. Like, it was the chances that they were giving up. And again, that penalty kill. So good teams obviously defend hard, defend better. It was excellent. I think that's really where they've turned the corner. And the other thing is for concepts that, you know, I think, you know, the coaching staff, mostly new coaching staff, but also the previous coaching staff, a lot of times the point to hammer home is if you're good in your D zone, that can transition to offense. And a lot of times when you're working with younger players, they always want to just think offense, offense, offense. But it's that idea that, hey, once I'm good and organized and we break out cleanly from one end, that's what allows you to play in the offensive zone. And it seems to be that group is getting that. And sometimes that takes time. And some of these players, you know, have been here 2-3 years and are really getting that understanding. Like a guy like Cameron Schmidt, who had a fantastic weekend. And we heard Parker Burgess post game say it's his play away from the puck that was the most important thing for him this weekend. Yeah, the goals and assists are great, and they are great. But it's his understanding away from the puck. He was so impressed with how his game has grown there. He said it was the best he's seen this weekend.
Yeah, 3 goals, 3 assists over the weekend by my count for Schmidty too. So, yeah, he just broke out. I want to play this clip for you, Parker Burgess. Okay. Post-game from the Sunday afternoon game, the 3-1 win over Medicine Hat. I dropped this on Bill too, but I just thought it was such a terrific quote. It was 2-1 after 40 and Medicine Hat's coming on. It's 3 games in 3 days. You're also coming off a 6-game Eastern road trip. I didn't know what the Giants had left in the final 20 minutes. But I love this quote from Parker post-game, so I'm going to play it and then get your reaction to it. Here it is.
You know, the second period wasn't great today, but they're battling. You know, we got home at 3 a.m. and we just asked them to dig deep and give each other, not even us, like just give themselves and give each other everything they had for 20 minutes, and just reminded them about the pride and the joy that they would feel at the end of the game if they did give everything and come out on the right side of it.
Love that clip. Love that clip. Don't do it for us, the coaches who are cracking right. The whip. Do it for yourselves, and you know the satisfaction you're going to get out of that. I just love that clip and that attitude, frankly, from Parker Burgess.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons he was hired is he's really good at, you know, motivating the group and obviously the right messaging and communicating that to really try and bring out the most of each guy. And that's just a small example of the impact that he's going to have on this group and that he's already had. Yeah, that's exactly the right thing, right? Yeah, don't do it for us. Do it for each other, because just think about how good that's going to feel, how awesome that will be. You're going to reward yourselves, but let's challenge them. Let's see it. We know you're tired, but here we go. Here's right. You got to frame it as opportunity. And then it was an opportunity. And boy, that third period was different because it was 15 shots for Medicine Hat in the second. They were all over the Giants. They didn't have a lot of offensive zone time, and they had 5 in the third, and the Giants were up by 1 going in, and they're able to get that insurance marker and win 3-1 against the defending champ. So yeah, absolutely love the messaging, and that's good to, and it's honest too, right? Like that's literally what, like sometimes you might not say what really might be said. But I'm sure that's what happened. He's just saying, hey guys, he's going to challenge them and motivate them in the right way.
I've been in a lot of locker rooms as a player, and when things aren't going well necessarily, and still you're leading 2-1, but things aren't going perfect. And yeah, they come in to yelling and screaming and whatever. And you guys aren't doing what I told you. And I thought that was really great of him going, no, don't do it for us. Do it for you. You know how what the sense of accomplishment you're getting. Anyway, I thought that was great. All right. Mm-hmm. Nathan Canter, Sir Nathan of Canter. I saw, and I thought this was really good on the Giants website this week. You had Obel Bifo on the website with a new feature called Giant Rapid Fire. That's what you're familiar with that?
I am.
Yep,
I may have filmed that.
You may have filmed that. You may have hosted it. You fired a bunch of questions at Oboe, and he's supposed to answer right away. And with very little editing, I believe, he answered right away. And so I thought, oh, yeah, Nathan, you know, the pressure that you put on those guys.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
So
no,
right
we're
now,
not going here.
Yes, we are going there. We are going to play Giants Rapid Fire, Giant Play-by-Play Edition with Nathan Canter. Are you ready?
Am I allowed to pass?
No. And from what I remember of your playing time, you never did pass. But anyway,
He's a selfish player. I'm ready.
All right. It's all the same questions, too. So you should be ready. It's not even any. Okay. Question number 1 of 8. Nathan, when were you first on skates?
I would say 6 or 7.
6 or 7. See, I could do follow-ups, too, but that's not rapid fire because I want to go, oh, yeah, where'd you play? How were you? 6 or 7, you were first on skates.
Yeah.
Question 2 of 8. Who was your favorite NHLer growing up?
Joe Sakic, 100% from Burnaby, BC. Big Avalanche fan. Continues to this day.
Question 3 of 8. If you were not a sports broadcaster, what would you be doing?
Oh.
You're not in sports at all.
Oh, boy. It can't be in sports at all because I would probably work in sports, but not broadcasting. No,
you could work in a sports store if you wanted to. You could sell running shoes, but you can't.
I've never thought about, well, what about a sports writer? Is that cheating?
Cheating.
Oh, my God.
You're not in sports. Oboe had this right away.
Yeah, he did. If I was not in sports, what would I do? I would have been in I almost went into business school.
See?
So I don't know where that would have led, but does that count?
Business of some nature.
Business of some nature, yes.
Question for great answer. Question 4 of 8 for those who actually are still listening. It's question 4 of 8. What country, Nathan, have you always wanted to visit, but you haven't been to?
There's a lot.
I didn't ask you that.
I would say, I haven't been to the UK, so I really want to go to London. Greece is also very high.
Okay, I'll
list.
Give you 2 on that one. We'll give you that one. Question 5 of 8. How many unread texts on your phone right now? And I couldn't believe Oboe said, oh, about 120.
I know. And so did Adam Tittleback as well. So right now, I am not lying. 0.
0. I read my text. Of course, I don't get a lot. But I will read my time. I'm sitting at 0, too. But I guess you're
sitting at 0.
Hockey players, you get a lot of texts. But 100 and something unread.
Come on. Get back to those people. They're just waiting.
See, the follow-up is, well, are you gonna read those texts? So, anyway, none. You've read all your texts. Okay, 6 of 8. If you were, this was so stupid, frankly. If you were a ghost.
Oh, who would I haunt?
Who would you haunt? Where'd you come up with that question, by the way? Who thought of that? Did you think of that?
Yeah.
Halloween.
You know, some of these things are borrowed.
It's Halloween, but Oboe said Schmitty. Okay, but if you were a ghost, who would you haunt?
You're putting this on my platter. Bill Wilms. Come on.
Yeah, baby.
Come on.
Question 7 of 8 of Giants Rapid Fire Play-by-Play Edition. Oh, this one was tough, too. Like, who would play you in a movie of your life? Although I know who would play you in a movie of your life. Because you look like him.
Yeah, and who do I look like?
Former Adam Sandberg.
Yes, Andy, I believe. Sandberg, yes?
Andy Sandberg.
Yeah, I do get that. I get that sometimes. Okay. I think that's good.
Sandberg. Okay, 8 of 8. What's the sports moment? This could be on or off the ice. What's the sports moment you're most proud of? Was it just that Schmitty call a couple minutes ago? Was it coming up with this feature that you ran on the Giants site?
Well, the sports moment getting this job was awesome. I've always wanted to move to the West Coast, despite not being from here, and to work in a big market like Vancouver is awesome. But I'll also tie that with there's nothing like winning, and even when you're not a player and not on the ice doing it, you remember that forever. And my very first year in Battlefords in the SJHL, the team that I was broadcasting for won the SJHL championship, the Battlefords North Stars. So that was also awesome. Even though I personally had nothing to do with the success, I'm still super proud of that group and being able to be a small part of that. So I would say between that and getting this opportunity would be the 2 things I'm proud of.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the first edition of Giants Rapid Fire on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week with Nathan Kanter. I think you got to backsell it, by the way. I saw the Oboe thing, and then when it ended, didn't it just end? You didn't backsell it. I would just recommend that you get a back. Aaron Oboe Bifo! That is Giants Rapid Fire. And then you get Nathan, or you get Oboe to go ho 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 or something like that,
so, just like Jack the Giant.
You got to tag it with something. All right, upcoming games. There's a lot of them. You get 3-3 again Friday. Mm-hmm. Portland's here. Saturday you got to travel. It's a weird thing. I mean, like last week you were home on Friday, then you traveled to Penticton on Saturday, and you came home again on Sunday, and again wrestled 5 points out of that. So now Portland at Vancouver on Friday. Then you go to the Loops. It's not Prince George, at least. And then on Sunday, it's Kamloops in Vancouver, which also is Trick or Sweet game presentation of Save on Foods on October 26th. Always fun. Your thoughts, sir, on the weekend coming up?
Well, schedule certainly doesn't get easier. As you said, they did it once, and it was 5 or 6 points. It's going to be difficult, though, to again do that with the home, road, home. Doesn't happen too often this season, so just a little bit of scheduling in October that the team, it's a good challenge. It's a really good challenge. And I should say Friday is Cancer Awareness Night, which is also very cool. Giants haven't done this, I don't think, in a very long time. But There will be some stuff going on Friday to raise some money and raise awareness and partnership with, I believe, the Canadian Cancer Society. And Trick or Sweet is always fun, always great. So, yeah, the team, the good thing, though, with the schedule is it's the same team that you're facing the Saturday,
True.
Sunday.
So they have to travel as well.
They have to do the same thing, yeah, coming. I guess they'll probably make it. I don't know if they'll make it a day trip.
Yeah, and you guys go in on Saturday. After the Friday night game, I imagine you go in on Saturday and you come back after the game.
So we did not do that last time. I don't believe we're going to. So we left Saturday morning for Penticton,
right,
and then came back that night. So that'll probably be the same thing. Kamloops, yeah, you know, 3 hours and a bit. Yeah, it's just a late coming home.
In and out.
In and out, yeah. But one last thing I want to mention, Brooke. I know for time, I'm sure you got to hang up on me soon, but five Giants, NHL Central Scheduling just came out with the preliminary NHL draft rankings for 2026. We talked about Ryan Lynn. We know he was going to be an A-ranked skater, which indicates, you know, a first-round candidate. That was already known because he was named to Team CHL so early. But how about this? Four other Giants are listed on the preliminary players to watch list as you know, between the second to seventh round candidates. We have a few C-rated, which is a fourth or fifth round candidate, which is Tyus Sparks, Tobias Tomic, both C-rated on the preliminary, and then a W, which is a late round pick, a sixth or seventh, both Aaron Obobifo and Brett Olsen. So that is five Giants in the preliminary players to watch list, awesome, which is excellent.
And Olsen's taken quite a step this year, too. So
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, buddy. You took quite a step, too, man. I don't know. I guess there's no wrong answers of the eight I gave you of Giants rapid fire. So you're 8 for 8. So way to go. Congratulations.
See, one day, though, I got to turn it on you. We're going to do it the
other
way.
Hit me.
Okay.
If we had time, right now would be the time. Thanks, Nathan. I will see you Cancer Awareness Night on Friday, Portland here, and then the Blazers of Kamloops on Sunday here for Trick or Sweet Night, the afternooner. That's a lot of fun. I'd like to see if there's a game, post-game day skate by Save on Foods. I want to see a lot of kids in costume with their skates on the ice. That'd be pretty cool, too. Just a thought. Thanks,
I
pal.
See your costume. Thank you.
I was going to wear my Vancouver Canuck Flying V from 1982. The road blacks at that point. That will be worn by me on Sunday. Just
very
kind of
nice.
Because it's very Halloween-y. I'm pretty Halloweeny myself, actually. Thank you, pal. You're the best.
Thank you.
Nathan Canter, the play-by-play voice of your surging Vancouver Giants. Yeah, Giants have won 3 of 4, 2-0-1 on the weekend, as we said. Some of the hot hits of the weekend as it comes for goals. Tailback had a pair. Olsen had a pair. Schmidt had 3. Sparks with a pair. Oboe in there as well. Assist, Tittleback at 3 for Schmidt, couple for Haliburda. Your top point scorers, Cameron Schmidt, 3 goals and 3 helpers over the weekend. Tittleback, 2 goals, 3 assists. Oboe Bifo had a goal and 2 helpers. Banged up a little bit on the weekend, too, on Saturday, but did play on Sunday. And Brett Olsen had a goal and 2 helpers on the weekend, too. And again, we talked about Kelton Pine, the goaltender, the newcomer, 40 saves in the 4-3 shootout loss Saturday in Penticton and Burkhood, 2-0 in both home games, 65 saves, 68 shots, a 9.56 save percentage. A good weekend for Vancouver goaltenders as well. And the penalty kill for Vancouver that was stumbling around like a drunken longshoreman early in the year. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that. 7 goals against now in their last 4 games, played the goals against in the PK on a 10-for-11 run. And that translates into fewer goals against. Portland on Friday for the Vancouver Giants Cancer Awareness Night. Vancouver in Kamloops Saturday, back home to host Kamloops Sunday afternoon. And that is Trick or Sweet, presentation of Save on Foods, the Trick or Sweet game for the kids. On Sunday afternoon, the 4 o'clock start. Get your tickets right now, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Brooke Ward for my pal, Jack the Giant.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yo, 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 and a ho, ho, ho. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.